The Enduring Gap podcast is made possible by an Education Writers Association fellowship. EWA fellowships support ambitious education journalism projects.
In April of 2021, I met Caitlin Ibarra on a mostly deserted college campus to talk about what school was like for her before the pandemic.
I spent most of my time here at the Ozona Library. My normal day is I would have Monday and Wednesday classes, Tuesdays and Thursdays, so I was full-time back then, but face-to-face.
She's in her second year at Palo Alto College, one of San Antonio's five community colleges.
So what I would do is, like, I would go to my classes at either, like, the buildings here, like, that's Brazos. And I forgot there's the student center there. So I didn't like to be in the student center because they're just eating and they're talking. But it was, like, really quiet in here. So I loved it in here.
Before the pandemic hit, Ibarra spent most of her time on campus. But then the world shut down and her classes moved online. For a year, the loudest thing on campus was the birds. Ibarra and her mom both lost their jobs in the early days of the pandemic. The 20-year-old was able to find another job, but her mother's health deteriorated, making it hard for her to work. Her mom has diabetes, and it damaged nerves in her feet.
It's hard for her to drive, and she just has a lot of difficulty. Like, she has a lot of stomach issues occasionally, and she can't keep food down. And sometimes she's really bedridden all day, but she's, like, kind of had, like, it's kind of progressed. The illness has progressed. So I take head of household to work for my mom and my brother.
From Texas Public Radio, this is The Enduring Gap, a limited series exploring some of the reasons more Latinos aren't earning college degrees in San Antonio. I'm Camille Phillips. In this episode, we're talking about the ways a student's family can help them get to college, and the ways the needs of their family sometimes have to take precedence over earning a degree. This is episode 3, I Take on Head of Household. In the spring of 2021, TPR sent a survey to students who are currently or recently enrolled in one of San Antonio's public institutions of higher education. Ibarra is one of the more than 2,600 students who filled out the survey. Their responses showed a significant difference between the number of white students and the number of Latino students who juggle work and school to help support their families. Hispanic students like Ibarra are more likely to be responsible for helping their family pay the bills. Ibarra is 20. Her younger brother is a junior in high school. She juggles a full-time course load and a full-time job with taking care of her mother. I first spoke with her on the phone.
My biggest motivation is just to live comfortably, never on your last dollar. We live, like, with my great aunt, and we only have, like, a tiny room, and it's just, like, I would like to have a higher education to make enough money to have a livable lifestyle.
She started working a 9-to-5 job at a call center in October 2020.
If I'm not on the phone, I have my textbook there. They allow me to have my textbook on my desk. And I would just, like, literally, like, read it.
She also drives her mom to the doctor and everywhere else she needs to go, including the occasional visit to the emergency room. Shortly before we spoke, her mom broke her toes without realizing it.
Because she has neuropathy, you can't feel your feet. So she must have, like, stubbed them or something, because she went to the hospital and they were broken. And I'm like, oh my God. And she doesn't know how because she can't feel it.
The switch to virtual learning during the first year of the pandemic helped her stay in school because she was able to study on her own schedule.
On the weekends, I do tests and then assignments too, submitting them.
Okay, so you can even do tests on your own time.
Yeah, I do tests too on my own time. It's either after work and then before work if I wake up early enough, and then the weekends too.
For her, the extra work is worth it because she's determined to earn a degree.
I always wanted to because I never wanted to, like, just, like, graduate and pop into, like, the workforce and just look for something, and it's not something I like. And the job I want to do is, like, in psychiatry for psychology. So, of course, I came to school because that's the only way to get on that pathway.
After she earns her associate's degree at Palo Alto, Ibarra plans to transfer to the University of Texas at San Antonio. Her ultimate goal is to become a psychiatrist, but that doesn't make the extra responsibility along the way easier to manage. And that extra effort can make it less likely for Latino students to earn a college degree.
Honestly, it's a privilege to be able to not have to worry about anything but school. Like that idea about, oh no, my son, you know, or daughter, school is their only job.
Vanessa Sansone is an assistant professor of education policy at UTSA.
That's a privilege nowadays. That's such a privilege because that also means that you're not stressing about anything else. You can completely, you know, immerse yourself in the college experience and focus on yourself. Unfortunately, because the communal aspect of, you know, Black and brown communities and also Asian communities and Native American communities, that's less likely to happen.
The privilege of being able to go to college without working is more about class than race. But then again, race and class are systemically linked too, because Latino families are more likely to find themselves in a tough financial situation. Sansone says Latino students are more likely to have to prioritize their family's immediate needs over the potential payoff of a college degree a few years down the line.
You can go and get a welding job or an oil field job or a fracking job or a trucking job and make pretty good money, you know, at 18 or 19. You join the military. And so when you don't come from money, that looks really good.
But without a college degree, Sansone says their options will be more limited later in life and more dependent on the whims of the economy.
At some point, they're going to hit a wall in terms of how much money they can make, even in those particular industries. Whereas somebody who pursues post-secondary education, we know that there's a correlation between as your education goes up, so does how much money you make over a lifetime. I also think that it goes back to blue-collar jobs, I guess, like with the labor intensement of it. This is also why we see more health issues in Black and brown communities, right? Latinx students have talked about that. They've talked about the fact that their families come from working in unstable industries. So again, like welding, it's all contingent on the economics of what's going on. That's not to say that other industries aren't contingent on economics too. They are, but they're more stable, like a teacher position, right? K through 12 is always going to need teachers, but are we always going to need oil well welders or fracking, right? Because I'm putting in the context of South Texas. It depends, you know, it's unstable. You may have a lot of hours one week and no hours another week.
Even if a student's family can't afford to support them financially, emotional support and encouragement goes a long way. Sansone says students are more likely to enroll in college and be successful once they're there if they have their family's support.
For those who attend, that typically tends to be a major factor, is that some family member was encouraging and supportive of them going. Sometimes it's a mom and dad. Sometimes it's a second cousin. Sometimes it's a brother or sister. Sometimes it's grandma.
85% of the students who responded to TPR's survey said their parents encouraged them to pursue higher education. And Latino students were just as likely to have their parents' support as students of other races and ethnicities, even though they're more likely to be the first in their family to go to college. Amanda Martinez with the civil rights organization Unidos US says she's not surprised most Latino students have their family's support. She says family is top of mind for Latino students throughout their college career.
Family is always a part of that decision-making process. And even when they're enrolled, their family is in the back of their mind. So a part of that journey for them is managing their family and figuring out how to invest in themselves, but also kind of redirect money or figure out how to like add additional income to support their family.
Family expectations played a major role in Jose Alfaro's college story. The Northwest Vista college student says his parents always expected him to go to college. His mom is from Slovakia and his dad is from Costa Rica. They both have post-secondary certifications from their home countries.
They've just been huge help to us growing up, going through school and everything. So I'd like to be able to pay them back for all of that. And I know that I'm not going to be able to do that all too well on a delivery driver salary.
Alfaro is 23. He enrolled at St. Mary's University in 2015, right out of high school. But he worked full-time at a gas station across the street from St. Mary's, and his grades took a hit.
Everything was super rigorous, super tough, and just needed a lot of studying outside of class. And I just wasn't ready for that.
St. Mary's is one of San Antonio's three private Catholic colleges.
Working overnight and then having morning classes just didn't really give me a lot of time to sleep or anything, which probably added to the mess that was going on.
He dropped out after his first year and worked as a dispatcher for a trucking company for several years. But his parents' expectations that he earn a college degree eventually pushed him to re-enroll.
There was just a lot of pressure to do it, and I didn't want to disappoint. And that is one of the things that eventually led to me going back.
He returned to college in January 2020, enrolling in a community college first to ease himself back into academics slowly.
I managed to get into the mental state where I realized I'll actually have to study and do more outside of class and stop working full time. And it's helped a lot. This time around, I'm just delivering with Uber Eats. So it really allows me to make my own schedule. If I need extra time to study, I can cut back on how much I'm working.
Alfaro is the second oldest of five children, and two of his younger siblings are also in college. While he was out of college, he helped his family make ends meet. His dad lost his eyesight a few years ago and had to stop working.
I was picking up some of the bills to help pay for things at home. I don't want to say it was a huge factor to delaying me going back to college, but when I was doing that, it was 48 hours a week, so I didn't really have time. But once my sister managed to graduate from college and she started working, she was able to start helping more with the bills. So that allowed me to start looking into going back to college.
Family both delayed Alfaro's return to college and ensured that he eventually returned. By traditional measurements and expectations, the odds he would return to college were against him. Because he dropped out and transferred to another school, he won't be counted in the standard graduation rate. But when he earns his degree, his success and his family's pride will be there all the same. A focus group conducted by Unidos US found that Latino families, especially families who moved to the United States within the last generation, highly value education.
They view it as a tool. It's a tool and it's a weapon to help protect against poverty. You know, it's this tool for social and economic mobility.
Martinez says immigrant parents often come to the United States so their children can be better off, and they see college as part of that path. In turn, their children see college as a way to give back to their families.
There was never questioning in their mind. But then once they started the process, then it was like, oh, wow, as a first-generation college student, wow, this is much more difficult than I thought it was going to be.
Martinez says Latino students in the Unidos US focus group were highly motivated and had a lot of encouragement from their parents.
But when it came to the technicalities, they just didn't have the social or cultural capital. And the institution usually didn't provide the social or cultural capital to help them navigate this new system. And so they're making decisions at the forefront as they're matriculating all the way even through their higher education journey without much information and kind of going on it alone.
So how can colleges better support students who don't know how to navigate the complicated system of choosing classes, accepting financial aid, and all the rest? The University of Texas at San Antonio and the Alamo Colleges District, San Antonio's community college system, have put a lot of focus on answering that question in the last 5 to 10 years. Both institutions have ramped up advising and created transfer guides to help students know what classes to take if they plan on attending UTSA after earning their associates. Tammy Wyatt is UTSA's vice provost for student success.
We've taken a very strategic, focused effort to make sure that there aren't any balls dropped, that all of those resources, all of those approaches are critical, and that we're all coordinating our efforts to make sure that students aren't falling through the cracks or through the gaps.
All three of San Antonio's public institutions of higher education are well aware that a lot of their students are the first in their families to go to college, and that a lot of their students have to work. Robert Vela is president of San Antonio College, one of the community colleges.
When you're competing with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, basic needs, putting, you know, food on the table or a job will always take kind of priority for a family, right? So we have made it really a goal and really operationalized the goal so that we can provide that level of service at each of our colleges as a district so that students don't have to make that choice. They can stay with us, stay engaged, and still work or still be able to get the food that they need for their families.
UTSA, Texas A&M San Antonio, and the Alamo Colleges District all have food pantries and other resources to support students with economic needs. San Antonio College opened a central location for students to access emergency resources like food and housing 5 years ago. The other four community colleges adopted the idea soon after. The centers employ social workers and offer mental health services, plus emergency grants to pay for unexpected expenses like a flat tire.
One of the things that, you know, we've been very, very proud of is that you're better with us than without us. That's kind of our message. Our students are better with us and more, financially sound if they're able to stay with us through this journey.
Recently, Vela started promoting something he calls micro-credentials, getting students certificates that can help them get a raise or a higher paying job along the way to earning an associate's or bachelor's degree.
We often make the mistake as educators, especially early on. We treat it a career as a destination, right? You want to be an accountant, here's how you become an accountant. We never treated that as a journey, right? In micro-credentialing all the way up to becoming that accountant. I mean, a phlebotomist, just simply taking blood. That's a certificate. We can start you there. You can go off and become a medical assistant, then you can become an LVN, then you can become an RN, and now you can become a BSN out of SAC, right? So, and that's what our hospitals are wanting right now, are more BSNs.
UTSA has a program for first-year students, transfer students, and a one-stop shop to help students navigate graduation paperwork. Wyatt says the graduation help desk has helped the university improve its graduation rate.
It's a centralized support center with the sole purpose of helping students resolve roadblocks to graduation. And so it addresses potential barriers. It serves as a virtual one-stop resource for undergrad students. It helps students navigate and address institutional barriers such as course scheduling, course availability and access, also administrative paperwork, deadlines, course substitutions, whatever it may be.
But even with all of these new programs, students still sometimes find it difficult to chart their way through. UTSA student Denise Lara says she wouldn't have made it to UTSA in the first place if her high school counselor hadn't helped her fill out the financial aid application.
My mom, like, she doesn't speak English, so, like, filling out papers or, like, signing things or just, like, the application to, like, apply to colleges and all of that, like, I had to just, like, figure it out on my own. Like, I'm a first generation. I knew nothing. Like, I knew practically nothing of, like, how to get here, or, like, how it worked. Like, I think they had to do, like, all the work for me. Like, I think my counselor did, like, my FAFSA for me. Like, literally, they did everything. And, like, without them, I don't know if I would have actually made it.
Lara says she knows UTSA has a lot of resources for students, but sometimes she has a hard time finding out what resources exist or where to go on campus to find them. Her first semester on campus, she spent weeks scrounging for quarters for the bus before one of her friends told her UTSA students qualify for a free bus pass.
Like, this is why lack of knowledge, like, really hurts you sometimes. Because I didn't know, so I was, like, paying all these dollars and trying to find quarters and stuff.
All of the college's programs and initiatives don't erase the systemic inequities that make college harder for many Latino students to navigate in the first place. Those same inequities also make Latino families more vulnerable to health crises and economic hardship. That's a fact that the pandemic has made abundantly clear, and San Antonio's Latino college students weren't spared. Coming up on the next episode of The Enduring Gap, the effects of the pandemic.
At a certain point, it was a bit worrisome. Thankfully, we always had at least rice or beans or something, so it hasn't been easy, but I know a lot of people that have struggled a lot more.
We asked students how they were doing during the pandemic and how that compared to life before. Were they ever hungry? Are they able to pay the rent? Have they lost work or had to take a break from school? We knew our students were struggling, but we didn't fully appreciate the depth of that struggle or the consequences for their academic futures. The Enduring Gap is a production of Texas Public Radio. This episode was edited by Fernando Ortiz Jr. Jacob Rosati did sound design. Dan Katz is our news director. I'm Camille Phillips.